promote a lot of this temple that actually teach the Buddhist teaching, the sutra and all those things. And their temple are all very meticulously done up. Then Shiqi is Zhenyan Fa Shi. His one is compassion in action. Then the other one is Zhong Tai Chan Shi. Abbot 90 years old that time I met him. Now he's 100 plus already. That temple is very, very big, very beautiful. So the four Buddhist tradition within Mahayana in Taiwan. Okay, this morning we will do the morning chanting. Then after that, we will continue our sharing. So turn to page 14. Oh, sorry, page 5. Okay, page 5. Oh, no need. That one is in one of the transcript book before we go to Taiwan. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the Sada Virya. Then mindfully we shall proceed with the morning chanting. Retreat, chanting book, page 5. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well. To this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rites of homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting happiness and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the Blessed One. Bow. The teaching, so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, and Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the Pure One, the Perfectly Enlightened One. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teachers of God and man. He is awake and holy.
In this world, with his God, demons, and
kind spirits, is seekers and sages, celestials and human beings. He has a deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now.
Beyond time,
beyond thought,
inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves.
I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the Blessed One's disciples, who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four pairs, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the Blessed One's disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to the Sangha. I bow my head to the Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing dear insight, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revere. The teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revere. The Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awaken after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy, through the power of such good action. May all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved ones and our prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows. Identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formations, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructed Rupang Anicchang, Vedana Anicchang, Sanya Anicchang, Sankara Anicchang, Vinyanam Anicchang, Rupang anatta, Vedana anatta, Sanya anatta, Sankara anatta, Vinyanam anatta, Sabbe sankara anicca, Sabbe dhamma anatta ti. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained parinibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all of our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering.
Okay, closing homage, you will chant the Pali version.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammasāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi.
Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, we will do the invocation to the devas following our retreat version, chanting book. Turn to page 6. Yeah. Huh? No, normal. Normal chanting book. Page 6, sorry. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atraha gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajas sunantu sakkamokkhadang Dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Jacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Nutaro purisa dhamma sarati Vamanusanang Buddho Bhagavati Supatipatayo Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Yadidam chattari purisa yogani Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anotarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, as I promised you all, today I will go through this transcript book of mine, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. This book came about because Sister Nancy, she's here. Where is she? Oh, she's there. At that time, she and her husband, Brother Sia, they were very strong in their faith, and they are from Klang. And Klang got quite a fairly big group of Kayamitas. So they invited me to their house. It was a very nice house, very conducive. So everything fall into place. Then that day when I was there, I delivered this talk, and it turned out it's very beautiful, very useful, very important. And Sister Nancy volunteered to do up the transcript. Then when the draft came, I look at it, oh, it's very good. So I edited it a bit, but most of it is correct. That's why the book comes about, and it's very useful. It teaches you many things. The basic of understanding cultivation. The most important thing is the significance of all this house dana, or even our normal puja or whatever, and how when you gather for such occasion, it gives rise to a lot of occasion for wholesomeness and fellowship, interaction. And through this, Kayamita get to know each other, develop the understanding, the faith. Then they help motivate, counsel, and encourage each other to walk the path of Dhamma. Then for those who are more senior and have the understanding, they lead by example. Then when you gather together with true Kayamita, you can see they are very different. They are not only sincere, helpful, but they are very, very kind. And most of them have a lot of joy, a lot of embodiment of the practice or the teaching. Then they are very helpful. Yeah. I got many of these friends who later also joined me and become my Kayamita. Most of them, I don't really know them, but they were my wife's colleague, teacher. Then suddenly, after something happened, I think first noble truth reality hit. Then she was in depression for 2 years. Then that time, I told my wife, you monitor her. When there's condition to help her, let her understand and develop the ability to recover, turn around, and move on. Yeah. Then 2 years later, everything fall into place. So I say, okay, get her to come for dinner, and later on for lunch. So for 2-3 months, I just have dinner and lunch with him and talk. She becomes so different. She learned the Dhamma so fast, and the depression and everything slowly subside until no need to go for psychiatric treatment and all the things. Then later on, he wants to know what I teach and what I do. Then I said, you come, join us in our session. Okay. Then when he came, you know what was his response? Brother, you're this so-called Kayamita. Not like ordinary friend of ours. No. They are all very sincere, very helpful, and very approachable, very kind, not snobbish and all those things, and dress very simply. But on occasion, annual gathering of Kayamita, because it involves our, Kayamita's special day, which is very auspicious and significant. They do dress very well. So you can observe all this. Yeah? Okay, now without wasting more time, we go into this book. I think you can get it from the website. Yeah? Yeah. At the back, maybe I brought a few, I think. If you have a look, you will be able to find. The title is The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, based on a direct transcript from the recording done during the Dhamma talk delivered by me on the 20th June 2015, almost 10 years ago, at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house dana in Klang. So I will read to you the introduction, then you can understand. Preface. It's Brother Teo's sincere hope that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of these enclosed transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. All these notes were mostly compiled based on a direct transcript from the recording of the Dhamma sharing done. The text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand the true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the actual recording first before reading the transcript note. To listen to the recording, you can download the talk from our website. There is a link, MP3 link. Then, alternatively, of course, you can contact Brother Sui An. He has an email down there, but he don't give phone number there. But in the website, got phone number. So as an acknowledgement, we would like to develop the causes and conditions for wholesomeness to arise for those who help do the transcript or those things. So this acknowledgement is what we will do for them. It is the donor's sincere intention that this transcript note be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends and Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of dana, Dhamma dana possible. So this one, all Kayamita partake in this wholesomeness. The printing of the book is from our Kayanimitta Fund. You rejoice. Sahaja, sahaja, sahaja. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Nancy, who has personally taken the great initiative to develop a draft transcript for me to develop the subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. Then we invoke power of merits for you all. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. And may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends or Kayamita who have donated or helped out one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. So we met always. And now you listen attentively. The essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. Introduction. Just relax yourself. So the key emphasis is always relax. Get yourself seated and maintain some form of saddha, virya, and attentiveness. You know what is attentiveness? When you are attentively listening, there is no thought up there. Understand? You observe, you listen. Okay? That's why you have to pay attention, attentive. You are not paying attention, means you are lost in thought behind. Understand? With a lot of verbalization, daydreaming, and all those things. Or you talk to yourself, internal dialogue, verbalizing, and all those things. Attentiveness is silent inner awareness before the knowing, which is sati, or mindfulness. When you pay attention without thought, you are in sati already. Don't have to do anything else. So the moment you are attentive without thought, the key word is without thought, you are already in sati. So when you are attentive listening without thought, that is true listening, the art of listening. So that is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, note this word, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. That is how you listen. Otherwise, you cannot learn thing one. Like the Zen analogy. When the Zen master pour the tea into the cup of the person who visit him, the person who visit observes that it's overflowing. He say, oh master, it's overflowing. Oh, you also know it's overflowing. So when you listen with all the opinion, views, conditioning, belief system, and all those things, means your cup is full, understand? It cannot go in already. So whatever is poured to you or spoken to you, overflow, understand? That's why the Zen master say, oh, you observe it's overflowing. But mentally, you are doing the same. Whatever is being spoken is overflowing out. Understand? You are not receiving because you don't know how to listen. You have your own views, opinion of things. And things that you haven't heard before, you don't believe. Understand? You start to have doubt. Or the mind internally comment, like commentator. Cannot be. The monk also never teach like that. The book also didn't write like that. Why is this person sharing all these things? Then you are not listening. You are not paying attention. Because when you act from knowledge, you don't have a clean slate, understand? A free mind. So how can you listen and how can you understand? Because you are not trying to understand what the person is trying to convey to you. So this brings me to one of the, I think, the talk when we were down there. We say make aspiration. Imina punyang kamina. You know, by the power of whatever merits we develop, we aspire to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Then, so that we will meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. So that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized soon as possible. Then Pamasuri learned, he knows. No, now we change the aspiration. We must aspire to meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, recognize and follow. You cannot recognize. How can you follow? How can you develop the faith? Then the other thing was last night, Sui An was, before we sleep, she read from the Google. She said, actually the merchant, I got two merchants. So I went in and checked. Well, I remember I read it somewhere. It cannot be wrong. Then I realized that two merchants was the first two, what they call lay disciple of the Buddha. Because the Buddha that time haven't have a Sangha. Understand? But they were very blessed, lucky, in the sense that they have Deva friends up there. You know? So the Deva friend told them, you know, he said, there is a fully enlightened being, the Buddha, nearby. You better go. Pay your respect, make offering, and take refuge. And they went. That's why when you have good friend up there, you really benefit. In Hokkien, we say, Chia Bi Liao. So, these two were very blessed and lucky. But later on, after Sahampati talked to the Buddha, said there are people with little das can understand. So he decided to set off to meet the five ascetic. Then on the way, he met, actually is a yogi, sorry, it's not a merchant. Yesterday I rechecked, yogi, by the name of, is it Avaka? Huh? What is that name? There is a name. Anyway, something like the no avaka or what, I forgot already. This is the one. Met the Samasa Buddha. Upaka. This is the guy who saw the Buddha so serene and all those things, and asked him, may I know who is your teacher and what does he teach? Then the Buddha replied sincerely, you know. He said, I just realized Aranta, Shri, and all those things. And I realized this while meditating under the Bodhi tree. So, I also don't know whether you take this as to mean that I have teacher or I don't have teacher, you see. So basically, he tells that yogi, he said, I don't have teacher. What he realized that led to the awakening and enlightenment was not taught by all his other teachers. So that realization, he got no teacher. That's why the Buddha is the only one self-realized, connect back to the spiritual nature. So because of that, this merchant sarcastically comment, oh, you got no teacher. Okay, never mind. He just turned and walked away. See? You aspire to meet, you don't recognize, and you don't know how to follow. Understand that? So the art of listening, all these things, is the same. If you don't listen attentively, you will be like that yogi. You will miss everything. So now I read on. Hopefully you can understand better. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very easily and clearly. You know what is a sponge or not? Dry sponge. Wherever there is water, it absorbs. So when you listen like a dry sponge, all the understanding and whatever that benefit you will be absorbed. So here I say, then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand, but you will not prejudge. Understand? You give that person a chance to speak, then you listen. Then you listen, you know, not correct or whatever, no need to comment. Just decide to stay or to move away. Up to you. But do it politely, with courtesy. Don't inside their comment, this one. No, I will not going to listen at all. No need, he is the way he is, understand? Or they are the way they are. So we rejoice. We are there in that state of mind, also trying to do what they believe they understand. And maybe they are sincere in the aspect to share. But the only thing is, the law of karma, whatever you share, it leads to deviation. In future, you reap what you sow. You will encounter a teacher who teach similar thing, and you will also get lost for quite a while. That's why asking for forgiveness is very important. Okay, then I read on. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind and more. To silence your mind more and more, and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware and listening with an attentive mind. Means you listen without prejudice, like you don't know anything. Then you investigate if you need to. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Sia, Sister Nancy and family, for hosting this wonderful house, Dana, for us all to have the condition to come together and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayamitas, come fellowship. Shall we rejoice together? Very good. Then next page. This one, precept and virtue. You remember yesterday? Dana, sila, bhavana. Dana, sila, bhavana. Then there's another one. Sila, samadhi, panya. For cultivator of the way, you start with this. Understand? These are meant for monks, devotees, and people who understand. But for lay people, you have to start with dana, generosity, where you need merits. Without merits, you may not have the causes and conditions and affinity to actually learn the teaching. If food and shelter also you cannot meet, then chances are you have no condition to go into meditation and all those things. So all this cannot be done. So here sila is the same. Sila is the same. Then this bhavana is these two. When you develop samadhi and panya, you are developing bhavana. So in this sharing, when I delivered the Dhamma, I explained to you how if you keep your sila, samadhi kick in automatically. And with sila, samadhi become the foundation. Then with samadhi, wisdom keep on arising. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is basically sila, samadhi, and panya. Okay, now I will read on. I would like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to this occasion to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of this good mind state, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtue are our goodness, our kindness, our gentleness, even the way you act. You are sincere, you are helpful. Or your whatever good mind state, they constitute wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precept has virtue, because he has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you are incapable of negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping the precept or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness of mind. The monk will often chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the 5 or 8 precepts. They will chant like what I chant to you when I administer your precept. Imani pancha sika padani. The meaning is these are the 5 precepts. Then silena suganti yanti, silena boga sampadan, silena nibunyanti, tasma silang visode. The meaning is, sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual happiness, suganti yanti. Sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Then sila or virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. So when you have these 3, you can cultivate very easily. Then I explain further. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of joy, happiness. You must learn how to develop the happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all the wholesome things, you rejoice by saying sadhu. You can rejoice in others' generosity, their sincerity and faith, seeing how they help prepare all those offerings. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivator, you understand. They not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure vision in return. All those who partake in all this dana offering will receive spiritual wealth or merits. Then just like the monk, you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of dhamma sharing, via their understanding. Then they will rejoice with your wholesomeness. They will also help you invoke the appropriate pure wishes. Then they will also chant for your blessing and protection and teach you the Dhamma. In return, you receive spiritual wealth. So this is why the Buddha says, sila or virtue is not only the only source for true happiness, it's also the source for great spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth are accumulated while they are within your spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it is the source of true peacefulness. The serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm people, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive. And you will not do all the wrong thing. Hence you have fewer problems. Fewer problems means what? Less fear, less worry and less anxiety and so on. You kill people, harm people, people come after you, take revenge, police case, everything, and so on. You cheat, misappropriate, CBT, everything. You got no peacefulness of mind. But you keep your precept, that's why sila is the source of peacefulness of mind, really. Your mind is very peaceful. So you don't have to confront silver law, silver society's law like police case, and all those crime-related issues like CBT, etc. And because of that, you can sleep well, and you don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. You violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when negative karma ripen, they will condition you into all sorts of misery and suffering, causing your mind to be restless. That's why how can you meditate? How can samadhi kick in? That's why there is no peace within and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind become more peaceful and calmer because less problem. That's why it's a source of true spiritual peacefulness of mind. True spiritual peacefulness of mind can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. Then I share on sila, samadhi and panya. When you have sila and peacefulness of mind, your mind state are more conducive for you to meditate. And because of that, you can develop samadhi. Samadhi is composed of two noble eightfold path factor. The path factor of samadhi cover samasati and samasamadhi path factor. So you train your mind to be more and more peaceful, more and more silent. The moment you are silent, you are already in sati. And when sati is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. So sati and samadhi can allow you to see things as they are. That's why you will have... Sorry. That is why once you have sila samadhi... Once you have sila, samadhi will follow, will kick in. then your mind can see things as they are to develop the wisdom. That's the reason why the Buddha always summarized the Noble Eightfold Path as Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Panya is wisdom leading to right view and right understanding. That is why Noble Eightfold Path first path factor is Samadhi, or right view and right understanding. So when you develop Samadhi, you can straighten your view. Then you have right speech, right thought, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort. And this is what morality or sila is all about. Sila is about developing virtue via your right thought, right speech, right action. After that, your samadhi power factor, which includes sati and samadhi, will take off to a new level of clear understanding leading to a more stable right view. Then you will know how to meditate better. Then your sati will become more refined. It will lead to more understanding, more clarity of mind, and more silence within. That's how you progress. So do not underestimate the importance of precepts or sila. Without sila, it's very difficult to go into meditation, to develop samadhi. And without samadhi, wisdom cannot arise. You will then come to realize that the whole teaching is indeed very simple, and the essential Dhamma are spin off from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, and they are all related and interconnected to your daily life. Apart from sila, samadhi, and panya, you also need to develop understanding of another aspect of the essential Dhamma. The whole of the Buddha's teaching points towards only one quality of mind, heedfulness. Before he passed away, he advised the monk to strive on with heedfulness. That's why he said, Apamadena Sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. The reason why you need to be heedful is because according to the Buddha, if you are not heedful, you are as if dead. If you are not ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, then your mind will become heedless, because it lacks these spiritual faculties of sati or mindfulness. Hence, you will not be able to understand the spiritual teaching, for it lacks the spiritual faculties of sati and samadhi. So I will end here. The rest, if you're interested, you go and read. The next title is Heedfulness and Heedlessness. Then Mindfulness. This whole book is very good. You should read it. Huh? It will help you. Simple, but very, very easy to understand. I was told by my Kayamita, I think, a few of them went to this the retreat in Taiping. I think that there is a quite a famous temple where they hold a lot of retreat. Is it Saranavaraka? Sasanavaraka. I remember that where is my wife? Lee Hoon Dale, I think, I remember. I think a group of Achui also there. So they met one Masala lady. He like Mong Cha Cha, no, in the retreat, cannot understand anything. Then he tried to ask around, then he met my Kayamita. Then my Kayamita said, don't worry, I give you a book. So he gave her this book. You know what happened? She took back that night, she read. Next morning she come full of joy. Very easy to understand. I attend all the retreat, I don't know what is head or tail, I don't know what they are talking. We're all very technical, understand. But this one, he said, very easy to understand. See? When you really have the understanding, you can make it into simple word where people can understand. And this is related to life, isn't it? Keeping precept, you think complicated, very spiritual. But nobody explained to you how it can develop the sila, then from there, how the three things that benefit you. That's why in all the spiritual activity, you go and visit the monk in Thailand, Burma, or wherever, they will give you this type of understanding. You see, these are the precepts, and precepts are the source of spiritual happiness. Then spiritual wealth, then spiritual peacefulness of mind. Then because of that, please keep this precept, is it? Then as you develop it, you will understand the significance. Then when you meditate with the understanding, you become very different. Okay? So now we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we get Manyan to continue. Manyan. 3.3, page 121.
Question 2. How do you perceive opening chakras via Qigong practices? Brother Dio answered, when you use your thought to open your chakras, you have to be careful because the thought created by the enlightened being still has delusion, so it can bring about yin and yang imbalance. It can also mean tempering, because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind, the thought energy will build up there. It is advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise your body while doing the Qigong practices, not to focus or store your thought energy at the Tan Tian unless the intention is to develop the Qi for health purposes. Do not use it to develop the psychic or energy field. There is a safer and more genuine way to open the chakras via developing the wisdom first. Then, when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfections, to walk the Bodhisattva way, to realize Buddhahood. Develop the loving kindness, compassion and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to our nature. This gateway will melt all our life force and mental or pure awareness energies into our nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no more of the yin and yang type. This is the pure energy that can really open up the chakras internally and naturally via trust, i.e. without the interference of any thought. 23rd Heart Sutra Class 1.1. The five aggregates, understanding, meditation, and sati. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics. Hence, it is quite easy to see and understand. But when it comes to mental aggregates like feeling, perception, activities of mind, thinking, mental states, mental formation, and intentions, etc., and consciousness, they are formless. Hence, they are much subtler and more difficult to see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation, as taught by the Buddha, and its true purpose and intent. Hence, their main activities are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind, via concentration and focusing of the mind via thought. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative states, which they will cling on to as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that frees and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good conditioned states, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung onto. Instead, they should make use of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment, via sati, to see things as they are, without any concepts, words, ideas, or thoughts. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are. to understand what is going on in life within the moment. Use sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are natural conditions arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases. Also see how upon contact, consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitants come to be and how through ignorance, contact conditions, craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering when wisdom or uniso manasikara, wise attention, is not there at the moment of sense experience. Then one will come to understand clearly how thought arises due to response to memories and how one grasps and clings to all these memories via our mental perceptions and thinking that condition our emotional negativities and fear, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, to think, to feel, grasp and cling. All these are due to one's wrong view or sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. Because one still cannot see their condition arising nature to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha and anatta. The human being, first aspect of our five aggregates of form and mind, is only a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned out by our karmic nature for us to use and live this segment of our life. And it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it is not you. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. We have taken birth and die over for so many countless lives. So which of all these countless numbers of segmented life is you? None. So do awaken to this truth with right view and wisdom. Then we will understand the secret of life, and we will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. 1.2. Question 1. This wisdom or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? Radio answered, it can happen any time, as long as one is heedful, which means constantly meditative and ever mindful, and be the steadfast one, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because the craving, desire and expectation are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment which is beyond thought to see things as they are. Silence the mind completely and be patient to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha via sati or the silent mind, then only can one awaken. When you are out of the formal meditation and yet you are still heedful most of the time, then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful, awakening can happen anytime. You can realize it via any of the first, second or third turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead spiritually. Hence, no way to awaken as confirmed by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21. 1.3. Question 2. When we say we must be constantly aware, what is it that we must be aware of? Radio answered, awareness is before the knowing, so there is nothing for you to be aware of technically. It is just awareness before the labeling or perception and words, i.e. mind in silent awareness to see things as they are, before the arising of the aggregates of mind to interpret and give meaning to them. Just the mind and the phenomena in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead just silence your mind and allow the phenomena to tell you their characteristics via the silent awareness to awaken to all the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason for the Buddha's instruction on cultivating anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, are breathing in aware and breathing out aware, i.e. just an awareness of the in and out breath. The breath and mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thought and at ease. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see, because it is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally upon contact of mind with the eye as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light bulb, battery and the switch. So similarly, when you are awake, there is no one to be aware of, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything, because it is just awareness, i.e. the silent mind and phenomena as one without thought to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality, seeing things as they are with uniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is the key to enlightenment. Because only through wisdom and understanding can the mind be free. The nature's law that governs all of life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complete. So without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life.
Very complex.
Oh, sorry. The law of karma is very complex. So without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom, and because of our rather conditioned views and opinions, we tend to develop a lot of negative thoughts via habitual tendencies. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition our fear, worries, anxieties, suffering, and miseries, etc. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. We must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice not only as advice given to us, but also to our thoughts. Hence, whatever advice given to us, in order to know whether we should follow it or not, the Buddha said to the Kalama at that time, that they should reflect and contemplate as follows, to find out, if I follow their advice, will it cause suffering and misery to others and to me? If not, then we can try it out. Otherwise, abandon it. So if it is applied to our own thoughts, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thoughts and develop only the right and wholesome thoughts via the four right efforts as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this, i.e. we can see the limitation of thoughts and how thoughts divide through words like race, religion, gender, nationality, views and opinions, relationships, etc., to bring about all the conflicts, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy and envy, leading to all the enmities and wars. With wisdom, we will see clearly that it is only thoughts and form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind and not you. Like the analogies as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates. Feeling is like a bubble, because feeling or sensations always arise and pass away from moment to moment. Perception is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankara is like a banana tree stem, because layer after layer, after you peel, at the center or core, it is empty, which is similar to your thoughts or thinking. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly they are dead and gone, hence empty, only thoughts. Then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist creating all the illusions to delude you. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha said, Sabbe Sankara Anicca, and Sabbe Sankara Dukkha, and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, to understand its deep meaning. Sankara is only mental activities or thoughts, so how come they have the power to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It is because via ignorance and delusion, you give it power to torment you without you knowing. With wisdom, we can see all this clearly, and we will come to understand that things are just as they are, and that everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditions arising, causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only, hence not so real, and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning via delusion. Otherwise, they can torment you. The essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha are, number one, the Appamada Vagga, Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, Dhammapada 21, 22, and 23. Number two, the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Hindrances of Mind, the Five Spiritual Faculties. Number three, the Three Evil Roots of Greed, Hatred, and Delusion, the Five Daily Contemplations. Number four, Right View with regards to the Law of Karma, Four Noble Truths, and the 12 Links. And they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dharma. The reason being, when I first came out to share the Buddha Dharma during the year 2004, I thought what living beings need was the Dharma. But after I had started, I come to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dharma, because at that time, their basic understanding of the essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it, the inquiry on how can living beings develop the understanding of the true Dharma, then this understanding comes to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dharma first before teaching the true Dharma to new people. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so clouded by thoughts, the vibrations and activities of mind that thoughts create. This is the reason why most of you can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night, when everything is very quiet, via the essence of mind. Consciousness creates the world and the continents and the universe. The knower becomes the living being. Via ignorance and delusion, the knower grasps onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are. Hence becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dharma books talk about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower or any akta at all. There is only awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. Everything is conditioned arising, and they always arise and pass away following nature's conditions. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That is why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Thoughts are just thoughts. They are neither good nor bad, because it depends on the user of thoughts. And if the user of thoughts has wisdom, then thoughts become right thoughts, and they are so beautiful. Use thoughts appropriately, while arising only right and wholesome thoughts. Right thoughts bring about harmony and wholesomeness, whereas wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worries, anxiety, suffering, and miseries, etc. When we are born with these five aggregates of form and mind via our karma, we must understand that it is just like a vehicle and tool for us to use and live life. The body is like our physical tool or vehicle that can take us around, and the mind is our mental tool for us to use to live and experience life in the here and the now. Together, we call it a human being, which we think is a permanent, unchanging entity that we can grasp onto as the me and the I, hence the delusion. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true nature or true mind and awaken to the truth to see the unreality of this form and mind, then we can understand clearly that this form and mind, what this form and mind is. Then there is no more Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion. With this wisdom connected to this form and mind, the form and mind is then no longer deluded. Hence, it will not grasp anymore, thereby freeing the mind from all suffering. It will have the enlightenment factor of equanimity within. Hence, no more stirring of the mind to be afflicted again. It will be at peace with all things. It will know how to live life and no more delusion to worry about life anymore, because you have clearly understood that these five aggregates of form and mind of this cemented life of yours as a human being is not you. This is the ultimate understanding. Important notes. Number one, the four important supports needed to develop the proper awareness-based meditation are relax, aware, 24 hours, and trust. Number two, when the heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dharma, so the bowing and reverential salutation to develop the Sada, Virya, and Sati spiritual faculties to open up our heart area to make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energies needed to connect to our nature within is very important. Number three, just relax, aware, and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness. Then you will progress along the path of Dharma naturally following the Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead, are dead. All conditioned things are impermanent, non-self and empty, anatta, and therefore strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeda, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful, for sati is life.
Okay, stop here. Huh? Okay, another 12 minutes. Maybe I use this to explain a bit. We supposed to have meditation, but we move it back where the breakfast was still quite recent. Okay, just now it's mentioned inside there. Thought, you must know how to use it. So thought is neither evil or good. Do you understand that statement or not? Huh? Well, a lot of people, after I say, don't do thought-based meditation, well, it limits you, you cannot become enlightened. They like fear of thought. No? They don't want to use thought. No? Don't understand it that way, well, that is wrong. So basically, thought is like money. You know money, eh? Money is good or evil? Huh? Neither, because it depends on the user of that money, isn't it? But logically, the society always say money is a source of all evil, true or not? That one is stock market one. Cash is king. That's why they got cash and carry. And nowadays, MACC also discover a lot of, you got any safe house or not? Well, now the bank, you bank in 10,000 or 20,000, they ask you where is your cash from. So now very difficult to put money in the bank. You withdraw big sum also, they ask you for what. That one not important. So when you know, thought is like money, neither good or evil. If the user of money is evil, he can use it for a lot of evil activity. Understand? Like hire an assassin to kill, to murder. Then cause political upheaval, money laundering for terrorism and all. That's why now we got AMLA, we got all the whatever act to curb terrorism and all those things. Society evolved, then they realize got all this type of activity. So they come up with all this anti-money laundering act. Money also can launder. You put in the washing machine and become clean. Dirty money become clean. That's why they use the word laundering. So you don't be so stupid. Don't take your cash and go and launder. You think it become clean money. So if you understand that, then you understand, oh, the user. So if the user don't have Dhamma, what happened? You will do a lot of wrong things. That's why money become evil. You got a lot of money, also no use. And a lot of people come to realize, before they have money, they crave for money. You know. After they have money, they become more headache, you know, because of money. So a lot of them come to that conclusion. Actually, if you are not wise, you don't know how to use money, then you create more problem to yourself. You have seen a lot of wealthy billionaire, their children fighting over their wealth and all say, well, the old man is still in the hospital. They already fighting. Until finally the old man fed up, changed the will. And a lot of the court case and all those things. So use of money is very important. If you use it for wholesomeness, you have the Dhamma, you rejoice. And yet you develop spiritual merits. You develop a lot of wholesomeness. You develop a lot of karmic goodness. All these are very beneficial because the use of money is wise, understand now? So likewise, your thought, like I explained, is a tool for you to do and use appropriately so that you develop the right thought for wholesome thing, right thing. But don't use the thought negatively to create what they call suffering, misery to yourself and to others. Means the wrong way of using that thought. It's like a knife. You use it to cut yourself, hurt yourself, harm yourself, and do all those nonsense. That is not right. So when you understand that, then you realize that Dhamma is very important. If I don't have mindfulness awareness, if I don't understand what is wrong thought, then how can I cultivate right thought, wholesome thought? That's why when I teach the opposite of what the traditional one teach. Traditional one always tell you right thought, right thought, right thought. And what are right thought? They always tell you the four Brahma Vihara. Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekkha. No, all your virtuous thought are right thought. But you teach like that, no use, no. They try to be good, no. They try to develop all this right thought, no. That one is the thought trying to develop right thought, understand? The thought cannot develop right thought without wisdom, man. That's why without wisdom, thought will always be wrong thought. So what I teach, Kayamita, is how to detect wrong thought. How do I define wrong thought? Wrong thought are thought that condition? Your negativity of emotion, which is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia, your insecurity. All these are wrong thought. Because it has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion inside there. Understand or not? So how can you put it into practice? I got another statement. Whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, the wrong thought is there. Agree or not? Somebody write. Come. Chan. Whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, the wrong thought is there. The Hokkien word better, my daughter said. Whenever you bosok, you already wrong thought already. You react already, understand? You wanting your ways already. So all these are skillful means to help you. So the user, not happy and not peaceful. And not peaceful. The evil root are there. No, the evil thought are there. The wrong thought, the wrong thought are there. The wrong thoughts are there. So now you all read together. Read it loud until you go in. So whenever in life you're not happy and not peaceful, straight away remind the wrong thought are there. You are not cultivating right thought. Okay, read. Get this, contemplate, stabilize, and go in. Then every time you bosom or not happy, not peaceful, then you know inside agitated already. Then you are not cultivating noble eightfold path. Understand or not? You don't know how to use thought. Understand or not? That's why you keep on creating. And these are wrong thought. And when you detect it, what must you do? Right effort to? That is a cultivation. But how many people do that? They don't even know that there is wrong thought. They always look out. That guy do this to me. That's why it was wrong. That B-A-S-T-A-R-D did it to me. So all this type of thing. Society make me like that. Don't give me a chance. The government make me like that. It's just like the example I used to give Kayamita. When you are in a rural area or city area, there are schools around your place. Then you go to that school. Then you always complain, "Ayo, my father cannot afford to send me to good school." Yeah, I go to good school. I sure excel one. Logical, yeah. Correct or not? But you must ask yourself, it's not the school, Every school also got good student, isn't it? Also got bad student. It's not the teacher or the school, it's you, understand? If you have the understanding, you will excel, understand? So, everything is about that person, understand? It's like the user. Then, a lot of people nowadays blame technology, They say, nowadays, the pornography, all the things that create bad influence. Then last time there are even monks that commented and said, TV is a big mara. You heard of it? Don't watch TV. A lot of violence. A lot of what? That's why they say, for adult only. Or whatever warning, violent and all. You ask yourself, you have the Dhamma. You cannot blame the school, you cannot blame technology. Because like it or not, like in Wat Pat Pong and Wat Pat Nanachat, you know what I told Ajahn Sumedho? The reality is the leaf will fall, understand or not? You sweep also, after that the leaf will fall. You get angry, means you cannot understand. So it's not the school. It's not technology. Technology is here to stay, like the leaf will fall, understand or not? You like it or not? But it's society, it evolved that way. And the school is the way it is. If your karmic conditioning is such, you are born there, your parent, you cannot decide. Karma decide for you. That's why take care of karma, then you will have good condition. But doesn't mean you have good parents send you to the best school, you will excel and you will do well. But of course, those with good karma can. But in my hometown, there are four went overseas to Australia in the early 70s and 80s. Because the parent can afford, and among the village, is quite a small rural village. So these people can afford send the children overseas. And to them, in our kampong, you can go overseas, mean big thing. 出国打车哦，那都是哦 ，come back sure status different already 哦，大学生啊，大学生啊，没 graduate 啊，学生啊 ，you know what happened? All of these four, all four get into big problem. They went there, they failed, no, they cannot pass, no, because from a small town, English all not good, got money on you, end up they go to casino.They go and drink, they mix with the wrong guy. And the father didn't know, no, keep on sending money. You know. How come after 3 years, not graduate? You know, and they say they study another course. They study. After 8 years, still like that. You know, keep on asking for money. You know. That is how it ends. So doesn't mean you go to a good school, good university, you go overseas, you do well. It's you. If you doesn't value your life,And don't take charge, don't blame anybody. You are the one. Key to your own life destiny, understand how? Whether you succeed or not, is entirely your understanding to live, to decide. That's why have the understanding to make use of this human life.To grow in wisdom, to grow in wholesomeness, to develop understanding, so that you understand life, so that you can have the good life. So understand this part, okay? Yeah. Don't blame outside. Yeah. You know my teacher Ajahn Yantra, tell me what. He always say this, oh. Inside okay, outside no problem.Inside not okay, outside big problem. You understand that? Ah. So, don't blame outside yourself. Everything inside. Inside don't have Dhamma, don't have wisdom, you react, you create a lot of karmic negativity, then you get into big trouble, then you cannot understand the heedless thinking. Keep on proliferating. That's why you enter depression, you become miserable.Is that life? Huh? Every day, worry, suffer, panic, first number through reality, keep on hitting you, haunting you, like nowhere to hide. Yeah. Like Sui An that night, last night told me, he said, Lao liao, a lot of problems. one by one. his one not that serious. But also,Like sign that Brother Tim also tell me that, yeah, after looking at the father, because the father lived until 96 years old. Long life, good life. But you know what happened, Brother Tim said, because of what the father go through. So at first he thought it was like dementia, the last 1 year or what. He said he cannot remember, cannot recognize. Then talk about.Like he saw the departed brother, sister, relative visiting him. You know. Yeah, he's 96 already. They all also, most of them gone before him. Understand, you know? Or they say immigrate already. Yi ming liao. Migrate. So I told brother, that one is karmic consciousness. It's not dementia. When they go through thisphase before they pass away, that karmic consciousness take over. No? They are not what they are already, understand? No? And their vibration reach the vibration of the non-human where they can see them, understand? No? Where they can come and talk to them. So that one is not dementia. The dementia one is pala one, that one real. For many years, he cannot recommend, remember. But much later only he passed away. So the karmic consciousness, when it comes, we all Chinese got a saying, Lao Huan Xiong. You heard of that? Isn't it? Like, not normal already. Huan Xiong, Luan Gong Hua. So, there are good and bad. If your life, you don't take care, most of these people, when the karmic consciousness take over, you can know already where they go.Their behavior show the sign. It's the karmic conditioning. They are going that way already. But if you really do the very good, wholesome Dhamma cultivation understanding, All those in Brickfield, they will know in the early years. You know of Mrs. Tan? Mrs. Tan Teck Beng? Auntie Tan? Huh? The rest don't know. Oh, you're too young. Never go Brickfield. She is Dana Queen, no? You know where is Dana Queen? Huh? No, Tan Teck Beng's wife. Ah, Xiang Cai's mother. Ah, Xiang Cai's mother. Ah, you talk about Xiang Cai, younger one, you all know. Huh? You know what happened? When he was about to, like, going through that karmic consciousness at the hospital, they also say she Huan Xiong now. And a lot of people panic, you know, ask all the, what they call, Buddhist friend in Brickfield, to go to the Bohi Tree and chant for her and transfer merits and metta and aspire for her recovery. So I was there, you know. Then when I did the thing, I realized, hey, how come the thing went direct? You know? Then I knew something manifested. Then after that, she recovered. You know? Completely recovered. You know? But before that, you know what happened? He once at that time, he keep on telling people, I go here, do dana. I go there, do dana. Everywhere, no? India, everywhere. No? That's why Dana Queen, you know, that type of destination is very good. Understand? No? The coming, but they do a lot of wholesomeness, the family. The husband, Mr. Tan Teck Beng, is the president of Brickfield Buddhist Society. Is it Buddhist Society? I forgot it. BMS or what? Buddhist Missionary Society, many years now. Then the son also teach them. The mother is Dana Queen, and the whole family did a lot of wholesomeness. So karmic conditioning, when it comes, you don't take care of karma, it's already destined, understand? But if you have mindfulness awareness, the karmic conditioner cannot come and disturb you. Well, your awareness can make you aware. Then you know these are all manifestation of the mundane mind, mano. And they know how to die on. Provided you have the wisdom, lah, no fear. You have fear, it cannot happen. And if you do that type of so-called mindfulness, which is not the real one, also it doesn't work. Understand? But when you have the pure awareness, you will understand, you will know. You know how I know. When I was 8-9 years old, before I even know the Dhamma or cultivate or what, one day I was playing, as kid, you know, play until so tired, you know. Come back, like drop flat on the bed, you know. Like totally exhausted, you know. No more energy. You know. So I was like that. But of course, very tired, so just very tired, then collapsed there like a log. Then you know what happened? All of a sudden, the last bit of energy also gone. No? Then I got no more energy. No? Then no more energy means the craving force have to dissipate, no? Have to be released out. No? Because there is no craving force to hold on my consciousness to the body already. So when that thing happened, I was still a kid. No? But yet, I was fully aware inside there, you know. I saw the craving force dissipating, you know, and how it released my consciousness out, and how my consciousness went out of the body. Then from there, I can see my body. That's how I came to know. And the worst is, I actually died. After that, I want to go in. I cannot go in. Not my body. You know. But luckily, not time to die yet. Meant to be. Then I know how to, like, give it a push, your pump. Of course, no sound, It's like that. Then I went in, Then the moment I went in, I take control back my body, Then I straight away went out and checked with my brother that went in when I was up there. I can hear him, my senses, like, normal. Can hear him, can see everything. It's like you all talk about near-death experience, They do surgery, Their consciousness float out. They saw the doctor, the nurses talking, doing all that. Exactly the same. So, I was up there. Then my brother went in. Then after that, I decided to go back. Well, I saw my body down there. That's why I called him. He cannot hear me. Then I went in there. I managed to go in there. I checked with him. Did you walk in there and say all those? He looked at me. You know. He said, you were sleeping like a log. How can you know? I said, don't worry. I want to confirm that I am not dreaming, not hallucinating. But I very clear. That's why I know, at that age, without the Dhamma, I know how to die. You know. Means what? I got no avijja, nothing, no rebirth consciousness. That's why I can still come back. Understand? Huh? Then I understand that craving for that bind your consciousness inside is because of coming. But when you are drained of energy, it's like you about to die. That's why I say very easy to die on. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't panic. Why very easy to die? End of the day, the dead person cannot feel any pain on her. And it's a great relief. But the death process is very simple. One. Finally, your organ will all fail you. Then the energy all gone. The life force also stop. There is no more energy to bind you. The craving force no more. So what happened? The craving force dissipate and release. And then, based on your karmic, it come out. But before it come out, you already have that type of karmic conditioning. You are not yourself already, understand? Or? Don't go and believe some of these people who tell you, hey, last moment, you have good thought, good rebirth. I wish you luck. Because the karmic conditioning already take over, you got no chance to do that, understand? Or? Or they teach you a type of meditation, last minute, maintain awareness. You go and maintain. Before that, you already karmic consciousness already. Understand or not? The conditioning already there, unfolding already. That's why, if you want to understand life, you better learn this teaching. Then you know, no one die. And very easy to die. You can understand. No one die. But the form and mind, very easy to die, you understand? No need to fear, just consciousness separate from the form. Then you can come out. That's why after your in-law pass away, don't simply say things at the wake and all those things. They are consciousness float out, they can hear you. So you say good thing, okay. But you don't worry. They up there, no physical body, cannot do anything. But they can put fear in you. In the Theravada Sutta is mentioned. Okay, we better do meditation. Yeah?